Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's December 28, 2012. We're still here. And you're listening to the best PokerCast still around. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
Man, we weren't sure we were going to make it, buddy.
Yeah.
The world did not end. I had a lot of turkey and Thanksgiving, Christmas, leftovers, whatever. Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, I did a lot of Ante Up work. So. But you know, when I tell people I'm working on Christmas, they're like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. And I'm like, no, it's awesome.
It sounds so depressing, though.
The phone doesn't ring, no one's emailing me back, and I get a crap ton of work done. At the times, I used to work every holiday, because it was even better there, because you had the same thing, no one there's to bug you, and so you get a bunch done, and then they feed you, and then you got double time. Plus, you got to take another day off.
Yeah, so it's like triple time.
It was like the best deal ever. So.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, no, yeah, I've taken that... that Midwestern work ethic, wink, wink, into it. Now, but no, I had a great time. My whole family was down earlier in the week, so we celebrated Christmas a little early. So
very cool.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Well, you know, when I was doing my husbandly duties during the pre-Christmas shopping time, I decided to go out and, of course, get something for the wife.
You know, here's the other great thing about I successfully negotiated. This is how good of a negotiator I am. A lot better than that guy in Die Hard that got, you know, waxed.
Yeah.
I negotiated no Christmas gifts at all this year. I didn't have to shop for a single person this year.
Wow.
We did some trades and things like that, but
I'm your white knight, bubby.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so anyway, let's get back to my story, because I know yours was so much more important than mine to tell me that you didn't have to shop for anyone. I did have to shop. So I'm in this local boutique, and they do, like, handcrafted artwork and stuff for some things. Most of it's jewelry and, you know, it's regular stuff. But they had some shelves on the outside where local artisans did their thing. And there was this really cool shot glass. It was taller than a normal shot glass, but not as big as a shooter. And, you know, they had all different kinds like that. They had sporting teams and all that crap. Then I came across one, and on the side of it, it said, ingredients for poker. And it put in quotes, and it said, this was the name of the drink. The name of the drink was poker. And I thought, damn, Scott, don't you, you're the alcoholic in the family. Did you not hear of this drink before? Have you ever heard of a drink called poker?
I haven't, and partly it's because I'm a man.
You're a man? What does that have to do with anything?
Therefore, I drink nothing but beer and scotch. Neat.
But I know, so but still I a drink.
I don't do any of these crazy drinks where you're mixing a bunch of stuff and paying $12 for it. I just don't do that. So, no, there are very few of those drinks that I've heard of.
Oh, all right. Well, I figured, you know, the amount of time you spend in bars that you would hear someone else say, hey, give me a poker.
I definitely hear that often. But,
oh, okay. It's just not alcohol. That's all. All right. All right. So apparently I'm the only one who knows about this drink. Me and the person who made this glass. And it's 1 ounce of gin.
Right.
Of course, a drink that
get me going. Yeah.
Basically one periodic element higher than water gin is. So that, I don't know if that's really even considered an alcohol. But
always gin.
And then one part maraschino. Mm-hmm. Which I'm assuming is the juice from the cherries. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not Italian, so.
Okay. And then one part lemon.
Okay.
And one part orange bitters, which I didn't even know what that was. I knew there were bitters for, like, Manhattans and stuff, but I assume maybe
gotta have the bitters. Yeah.
So, does this sound tasty at all to you? I know you're a manly man, and you only drink manly drinks, but, I mean, does this sound like, hey, you know, it might not be too bad?
Here's the thing with a lot of these things. I think they all taste about the same.
Uh-huh.
You throw a couple, you know, some liquor in there. You throw a cherry and some lemon and oranges, and you can. Yeah, it's probably the same drink that 100 people have invented. They just call it something different wherever you are. So I'm sure it's fine. I would not spit it out. I am not a huge fan of gin. It tastes like I'm drinking a Christmas tree. You know, with the whole needles and everything in it. So, not a big fan of that. I would probably substitute vodka if I was going to do it. And that would be a decent drink.
All right. I wonder if there are any mixologists in the NEF Nation who can tell us if this drink is masquerading as something else. And it's really another drink. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how many mixologists we have listening, but I'm sure we have plenty of drunks. So,
I'm sure they'd be willing to try it, too.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I actually took a picture of the shot glass, too, with the ingredients on it, just so I wouldn't forget it for the show, you know.
Hmm.
Okay, well, I really wonder.
Actually, I think I have everything for this. I can make it for our home game this Saturday.
You have maraschino in the house?
Except I don't have maraschino and orange bitter. So I've got 50% of this.
You got lemon and gin.
I've got the gin and the lemon, so...
So basically, you've only seen the flop of this drink. You haven't seen the turn in the river yet when you hand it out there.
But here's the thing: I've got some cherry cough drops, so that might work. And then let's see, orange. I might have some orange juice.
Oh, orange juice. That's probably a good substitute. Or you have like orange lifesavers. Maybe we could just drop those in there.
Yeah, I don't think I have orange lifesavers.
You could cut up a slice in it and then put it on the...
But what I'll do is I'll go out and get some Skittles this week.
I have Skittles here, actually. I could bring them with me if you want to do a little...
So essentially, we could just put some gin and three different colors of Skittles in there.
That's right. It's exactly the same thing.
I'm sure that stuff will blow up on Tosh.0 or something, you know.
So are you telling me you have gin in the house?
I do. You know, people come over and bring stuff and leave it, like, you know, I'm going
to
drink.
So you got to pander to the pansies, is what you're saying.
I think I got some Bombay Clover or whatever it's called.
Bombay Badonkadonk.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I thought it was very interesting that there was a drink called poker. We've been doing this for basically a decade, and I never heard of it. So I thought that'd be interesting. And if anybody wants to drink it, make it and drink it, tell me what it tastes like. Because, hey, New Year's is coming. If you listen to this in time, you can make it for New Year's Eve. So,
yeah.
You know. But I thought it was interesting.
Absolutely. Well, if you find any beer called poker, let me know.
Okay, I will. Well, speaking of New Year's, our New Year's show is coming up. And we're gonna have a little fun with it. We're gonna make a few predictions. We think of what's gonna happen over the next 365 days. What do you think?
Absolutely. I always like the end of the year because we do our conkies, which we're doing today.
Oh, you just spoiled it. I thought nobody would know what we were doing until we got there.
Well, you know, at this point, they're probably like, "Am I listening to a poker podcast or a get drunk podcast?" So I'm trying to reel them in here. And of course, people that are just listening for the first time are very excited about the conkies because they know exactly what that is, right?
Yeah, I've often asked myself that same question about whether or not we're doing a booze show or a poker show many times before.
Oh boy, you're getting me all choked up here.
I'm sorry, buddy. Hit the mute button so nobody hears you hacking up along.
All right, but next week we do want to gaze into the crystal ball like we like to do, right?
Yes.
And you know, we're getting kind of old here, right? You know, I mean, this is my first year on the planet where I've got a 4 at the front of my age. and you've had it for 7-8 years now, so
yeah.
So, you know, we're going to need a little help here. I mean, our crystal ball is a little muddy, a little cloudy, right?
Yeah, we got bifocal crystal balls here.
Exactly. So what we're hoping is, and we know it's short notice because most of our listeners don't listen to the podcast until 4 months after we record it, right?
But right.
For those of you early adopters out there that are listening here before next week's show, go ahead and give our hotline a call at 813-448-1120. Or email us at podcast@andyetmagazine.com with your New Year's predictions, poker-related, please. I mean, this is a poker podcast.
Yes, not beer-related, not shot glass-related, strictly
exactly.
Poker.
Right. And be part of next week's show. And that'll be a little more fun than us just, you know, having to come up with everything. Because we're not very creative.
We're losing our creative juices as we get older. And then when we're not losing our creative juices, we're always being second-guessed and corrected by our listeners, which is Ken from Iowa calls into the hotline at 813-448-1120, as Scott just said. And he wants to give us his interpretation of why the Howard Lederer settlement went the way it did. Here we go.
Just listen to your latest discussion about the settlement. And I think you missed something there. with the DOJ and the settlement they've made, you know, why they're taking such a little money and why they're happy with it. But, you know, I think initially they were going after a large amount of money, but then over the over time, the legal decisions that and the change of stance with the Wire Act, you know, they said the Wire Act doesn't apply. And then also we had the judge's ruling that poker was a game of skill, not a game of chance. And he also mentioned that decision that even UIGEA shouldn't apply to poker for that same reason. So I think a lot of the teeth in the DOJ's case were knocked out. I mean, so, you know, and really I think this whole thing, the DOJ may be the real criminal. You know, it's clear that online poker is not illegal in the U.S., but they're still managing to keep everybody out because they're worried about what will happen once the bill gets passed. It might get left out. And then, you know, why does the DOJ have to keep all the money with full tilt to pay the U.S. players? If it did like everybody else in the world, all the U.S. players would already be paid that. But they want to, again, stay safe. Because now you get to go to the DOJ and get your money, make them look like they're the saviors.
Good points.
You know, I always like to pick back at our listeners.
Yes, right? Yes, do that. Like a scab on the arm.
We're great ambassadors, too, you know, like Dennis. No, I mean, he does make some good points. The one thing I will caution folks is that I think people are getting way too excited about this federal judge ruling on poker as a skill. I think, obviously, it's great that it happened, and it could have some nice impacts for us, but I really don't think the Department of Justice cares two rat's tails about that thing. So I don't think that played into anything here. Certainly, you know, obviously the Wire Act, I mean, you know, we saw a letter file an amended complaint on this, or, you know, amended response to the complaint saying this. So that certainly played a part into it, I think. But ultimately, really, at this point, we still have the criminal charges against Ray Bitar. Again, that's the whole thing I think they're pinning this on, and I don't think they've changed those charges yet. So.
Right.
We'll wait and see. You know, if things change with Ray, then I'm going to buy this, that this other stuff actually helped him out. But right now, I'm thinking this is just Raven Howard saying, all right, let's cut the best deal we can and get out of town.
And they did cut a good deal.
I would think they probably did.
I think that's a pretty good deal. And, you know, but, you know, no, but I agree that Ken, you know, the Wire Act probably did weigh a little bit in there saying, hey, let's get some money out of this. And it's not a conviction or anything, so I don't know what to.
Right.
You know, they didn't have to settle because it's just money. But still, I respect Ken's point of view. Now, a couple other people actually mentioned that too. I don't know if we got emails or if it was on the forum somewhere. Oh, it might have been in our recap. People talked about, you know, there were some of the things you can consider, and the Wire Act was the main thing.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly, all those things are. Put those all things in the big gumbo pot.
Gumbo. Jambalaya. Yeah.
I like to have my gumbo with a poker.
Oh, man.
Ken, we appreciate you calling the hotline, and we are going to send you a download of the Chinese 13-card poker app for Apple products from Smapsoft. You don't have to be a winner and enjoy this great app. You can download it yourself by visiting the iTunes store. And, Ken, you can enjoy that when you're driving the back roads of Iowa.
Well, getting fine. Wire service that you could.
Exactly. And everybody else, remember the hotline again for the third time this week, 813-448-1120.
Our mailbag comes from Malcolm O'Malley. That's a lot of M's. He wants to remark on a serendipitous poker moment. He said, I just won a pretty nice pot and was still stacking the chips. I had been running hot. I stopped stacking to look at my cards and saw two red aces. There were still two players to act. I was in the 9 seat to the right of the dealer. Rather than protect them, as I should have, admittedly stupid, I kept stacking my chips, leaving my cards unprotected. The player in the 8 seat mucked, but his player skimmed over the top of mine as he did. What's that? Oh, the player. But his card skimmed over the top of mine as he did, dragging my top card toward the dealer. The dealer scooped up all three cards before I could say anything. My hand was deemed dead. Floor was called over. Decision upheld. Bummer, but no complaints. What was interesting was the action that unfolded with the blind. Small blind raised, big blind called. Flop was ace-jack tray, two spades. I'm pissed at this point. Small blind shoves, big blind calls. Getting more angry. Small blind shows jack-jack. for a flop set. Big blind shows king, queen of spades. Turn is a 10, river a blank, and I would have lost a huge pot. I'd also be interested to know if you guys or anyone else has had any moments where a horrible thing that happens to you turns out to be a good thing. I was running real good that night as a big blind had me covered. I just didn't realize it until the turn hit how lucky I got. I continued my good run and was able to post a big win. Of course.
Of course. Four brags. Five brags.
At least five brags in there. But that is pretty cool. It's almost like he was destined to win that night. You know, the one time he would have lost, the poker gods came down and saved him. So, pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we want to hear from our listeners on this. I think it would be a cool show if we get enough serendipitous moments sent in to us, you know, either by email at podcast@andyantmagazine.com or to the hotline, 813-448-1120. People are going to be calling that thing as a girlfriend now. It's ingrained in their head after listening to the show. But no, I'd love to hear from folks on what they think. You know, I've been trying to think about this ever since O'Malley sent this to us. And I'm sure I've had a couple of these. But really, I just kind of remember like this body of work of these things. Because, you know, I think it's just enjoyable. One of the reasons I really like poker is you're at the table and this stuff happens like all the time. Yeah. Not necessarily to this degree, but... You're sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? I know I really shouldn't be playing king, queen after a raise. All right, I'm going to be good today and throw it away. And then the flop comes, king, queens. I'm like, oh, never get rewarded for being smart. And then, of course, you know, all kinds of action like that. And then you would have lost the pot in the river. I'm like, oh, thank you. So it is work. And that seems to happen more than the other way around, I think.
Yeah.
You throw something away and it holds up in the end, you feel bad. Of course, it's probably just selective thinking.
Yeah, revisionist history.
But I don't think I have a big one. I'm sure there's some things where I decided to enter a tournament the last minute or something, and it turned out really well or something like that. That you know, should I go home or not? You know, I'm sure I got a couple of those things. But none dropping bad at me.
The one thing that I remember, and I'll probably end up talking about on the show because I really can't, I remember all the things that you just talked about. You know, things like that all the time. But could it be a bad one, too? Does it have to be serendipitous? Sure. Could it be like, if I didn't go, I wouldn't have been in this situation? But this is actually a good one, I think. I remember Chicago Mike was going to be in town, and he was in Sarasota, and I drove down to Sarasota to meet with him and play with him.
Right.
So if he hadn't come, I would have stayed home that night. Uh-huh. And I would not have been driving home across the Sunshine Skyway Bridge and watching a truck driver who obviously had been driving for much too long fall asleep behind the wheel and then run a lady off the road and drive the rear end of his 18-wheeler over her car and then leave the scene and not stay and then actually get pulled over later. And then I served as a witness in her accident and got her all of her money and all of her stuff paid. Because if I wasn't there, I was the only one that was the only witness to it. If I wasn't there, she would have probably been out of car and all that, and that guy would have gotten away with it. But instead, I was there as the witness, and this guy was brought to justice. So that might be the one serendipitous thing I could think of as far as going and playing poker or having something poker. But as far as at the table, I don't know if I have anything like that. You know,
that's a pretty good one.
That's a pretty good one, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, I just ruined it for next week's show, but or next time we do it, I mean. But hopefully a lot of our listeners have stuff like that that's happened to them, and will it be a you know, listener-driven show. But, yeah, pretty interesting stuff. And that's pretty cool, though. I mean, you got to admit, you flop top set, and you're ripping mad against middle set, and then, you know, you would have lost all your money. So, pretty interesting, you know. But it's going to be hard to top stuff like that at the table. So, it's going to have to be... You're going to have to really think about it. You know what I mean? There's going to have to be a lot of ways for you to top that, or at least come up to it.
All right, well, O'Malley, you know, we've already sent you some swag, but we appreciate the contribution nonetheless. But remember, everybody else, if you send us your mailbag questions and we use it on the show, we will send you something wonderful like a deck of J Design playing cards, the official playing cards of Annie Up. Pick up your own decks in the Auntie Up store at AuntieUpStore.com.
It's almost January, Scott, and you know what that means.
That means I'm going to freeze in Vegas.
That's right. Our next Annie Up Poker Tour event is in January. Red Rock Casino Resort Spa in Las Vegas will host our next event on January 25th with satellites beginning January 21st. Yes, Scott's going to be there freezing off his muchachas. Stick around and say hi to him and take your shot at making the cover of Annie Up Magazine. There are special Annie Up room rates of $89 for this awesome resort. More details on all AUPT events can be found at AntiUpPokerTour.com.
And speaking of the Antiup Poker Tour, the Hard Rock Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic is now accepting bookings for the Antiup Poker Tour World Championship event, July 28th to August 3rd at that luxurious all-inclusive resort. 14 tournaments with buy-ins as low as $100, with the winner of the $1,100 main event appearing on the cover of Antiup magazine. Great all-inclusive room rates for adults and children will make this a great poker and or family vacation this year. More information at antiupmagazine.com/world championship, including how you can win your way there at Dover Downs.
You know, a lot of people come to us and they're like, hey, you know, your cruises are always during the school year, so I can't go on the cruises because the kids are in school. And, well, the World Championship is right in the middle of summer. Right? Bingo, bango, bongo, you can bring the kids. So
absolutely.
It's one of those things that we offer. So
phenomenal kids rates, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole thing is phenomenal, really. And I'm not just saying it because we're doing it. I mean, when you break it down day by day, it's so worth it. But speaking of the cruise, Jonathan Little is going to be our pro on our February 4th cruise out of Port Canaveral. And as we've mentioned a few times in the past, you know, our rate guarantee is gone now. But you want to book as soon as possible, see if we can still get you a good rate and get you on the ship. So we're also sailing out of Miami, New York City, and Tampa next year. Get all details on how you can win your way on board at Dover Downs, Derby Lane, Tampa Bay Downs, Daytona Beach Kennel Club, and Seneca Salamanca at AntiupCruises.com. Hey, you know,
that's the issues.
We get to wrap up on O'Malley's Move just like we wrap up the whole year. I mean, it's like we planned it this way. We didn't straddle into 2013 with an O'Malley's Move. We're going to let you finish this one off. So here we go. Here's part one. We'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week, we're sitting 2-5, no limit hold'em. Overextending ourselves, we've bought in for 1,000 and have lost 150. This is a pretty tough, action-heavy table, with a lot of young guns who love taking an aggressive angle and running with it, even with air. The blinds post, under the gun calls, plus one calls, plus two folds, the MP1 calls, and we're in the MP2 with the Jack of Spades, Jack of Hearts. Since there are three players already in, and still four to act behind us, we're going to make a raise. The standard for the table is 4x big blind, but we've got to account for the limpers here. We make it $35 to go. It's folded back around to the under the gun, who calls, as does the plus one, but the MP1 folds. This pot is already huge. With roughly 110 in the pot, we see a flop of the Queen of Hearts, Queen of Clubs, Three of Clubs, and it's checked to us. Now these two knuckleheads are classic loose aggros with too much money. They both sit with north of a grand. Why do we always find ourselves covered with guys like these? This might be a pretty safe flop, but these guys love to slow play when they hit. We make it $75 to go. The under the gun folds, but the plus one calls. There's about 260 in the pot when the turn puts a third queen out there, Queen of Spades. Our opponent now counts out a bet and puts 175 into the pot. What's our move?
All right, so we have a really strong hand against the lag. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, if we're going to play with lags, which I don't like to, mm-hmm. But we are, then we can't be scared in these types of situations. Only three hands have us beat, I believe, ace, ace, king, king, and any queen. And two of them, ace, ace, and king, king, don't make any sense to me. So I'm just not I'm not going to fold this one. That being said, I think I'm just going to call here. Because I want to take a chance that this guy is going to take another stab at us on the river. Whereas if we raise all in here, we're probably going to scare him away. Because I think he's got air.
Wow, that's pretty bold. Okay,
that's
well,
me.
When you say any queen, you made that sound like one hand, but any queen could be a few hands, right?
Well, yeah.
Queen Jack, King Queen could be hands that didn't.
But three foldings. Yeah.
Three foldings. Oh my God. There's Scott's fuzzy math for you. But really, would they just limp with ace, king, and queen, queen? Probably not. But how about queen, jack, maybe? That would call a raise, and then if he had a queen, he would play it this way. hoping that we had, you know, one of those top three hands of aces, kings, queens, or, I mean, or jacks. So, I don't know. I mean, you could have a hand like 8-8 and think it's good. Maybe we have ace-king, so he thinks it's good. But a queen is possible here.
It is.
He could be bluffing, too. I think I fold, though. I really do. I really think that I'm letting it go. And normally, I'm the one that calls, and you're the one that folds. It's weird. Maybe it's one of our New Year's resolutions. I have no idea. If I have a really good read on him, though, and I knew he would raise with ace-queen or king-queen pre, I may call. You know, I just, you know, because if he didn't, if he had that hand and he didn't raise, that means he didn't have that hand, so. But
well, to me, this entire hand hinges on the lag.
Yeah.
You know, against a normal player, I'm totally on board with you here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is kind of how loose aggressive players play. They splash around, so you never know what they have, and generally, they like to play into people's fears. At least that's the opinion that I have of the ones I played against. And this is a scary board. I mean, it's really tough to continue putting money in here now, knowing that you really have no outs if you don't have a boat here.
And so he definitely said this guy was loose, right? I mean, because I know we said there were tough players, but he said it was a loose, aggressive player. He definitely said that.
That was my understanding.
Okay.
Of course, we just listened to it.
Yeah, I know.
So technically, we didn't really.
It's a long year, Scott. It's been a long year. All right.
It's the magic of podcasting that we didn't just listen to it. But yeah, that's my impression.
All right. Well, you make really good points, and I'm just, for some reason, I'm chicken. And I'll probably be wrong, but I'm going to be chicken this time and fold. So let's see what happens.
Hello again. This, to me, is a snap call. If he had something like ace-queen or king-queen, he would have raised pre-flop. I don't see him calling a raise with queen-jack or queen-ten. He also would have raised pre-flop with aces or kings. We're good here. I'm just not sure we can call another big bet on the river. We make the call. The pot is massive at just over $600. The river is the six of clubs, and we breathe a sigh of relief when our opponent checks. We're not going to open up the betting again. We're satisfied with what's in there already. It puts us up for the session, and we don't know what we do if we get check raised. This might be an instance where we leave value out there, but we can live with it. We check behind, and our opponent turns over air. Jack of diamonds, ten of hearts. We table our jacks and scoop the pot. Until next time, I'm Malcolm O'Malley saying sometimes you gotta overextend yourself. If you're not uncomfortable, you're not playing poker. I hope to see you on the felt.
All right, not being results-oriented, because we never do that here. But if we were confident we were good, as I was, and it seems like O'Malley was, I don't want to lose that value on the river. You know, opening up the betting again to lag is always scary. But we need to trust our read here. Some lags would see us opening the betting up here as an opportunity to try to bluff us off the hand. I definitely want that.
Yeah.
Let them take a shot at me. I want this whole stack here.
Yeah, you got to be really confident. I just wasn't that confident going in. I figured if the guy fired again on the river, I would have folded. You know, like had I even stuck around, I think on the river I would have folded. Because for this guy to bet all the way to the river, that's tough for me to call and not believe him. If he had fired on the end, I think that I would have had to have folded then too. But since he checked behind, we got a nice little showdown and showed a winner, and you were right. You were right. He was just being his normal loose aggressive, didn't believe you. Let's bet the paired board because everyone's always scared of the paired board bet, and that's what he did, and we were smarter. Well, you guys were. I wasn't.
Hey, you know, clock's right twice a day. So I've got one more thing that I can be right on today.
All right, awesome.
I'm going to save it up for something better than O'Malley's move, though.
Well, it's been a good O'Malley's move year, and he's returning for 2013, so we're very excited.
Absolutely. Appreciate what he does very much.
Now, you ruined it earlier in the show. You mentioned Conkeys.
I was just teasing.
Yeah. All right, so we do have some
new listeners. We can decide not to do it now and really screw everybody.
We have some new listeners, I would imagine, that haven't heard our Conkeys before or know what they are. So these are our annual awards that we give out to players or institutions or anything poker-related that stuck out in our minds over the past year. So instead of doing the old top 10 stories of 2012... we do it our own way, and this is one of them. The origin of the name Conkeys, kind of fuzzy there. you remember how that kind of came about?
I believe it was
the donkeys.
Trying to come up something. Of course, a donkey is a normal animal
apes.
In poker lore, but we were in the middle of our apes and giving out bananas, and someone suggested instead of donkeys, you call it conkeys for King Kong, which is an ape that would eat a banana. So yeah, you got to do a lot of Kevin Bacon 7 degrees of separation to get there.
But we got there. That's the most important part. We got there. We got a cool name for our awards. And here's my first one. Best reason yet that we miss PokerStars so much. PokerStars is a quick repayment to Full Tilt players. It paid back all of its players after Black Friday, then bailed out the egregious business practices of Full Tilt Poker and rescued all of our American players and worldwide from the money that Full Tilt couldn't pay them. So definitely deserving of one of those positive conkies that we like to give out. So we miss PokerStars. We love them, and hopefully they'll be back soon. And who wouldn't you rather have on your side than someone who can actually pay back their own players and the other players that weren't supposed to get paid anyway? So
and do it so quickly too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know all of our U.S. listeners are like ticked off because they don't have their money yet, but that's not PokerStars. That's
They gave the money already. It's not that.
That's more of the conkies that we'll whine about later on, but. But yeah, I mean, they really did. I mean, it was amazingly how quick the repayment was. And, you know, just speaks to the value of that great site.
Yep.
I hope they haven't come back.
Come back.
All right, here's my first one. Best proof that poker news organizations can do good journalism. Matt Parvis and the Poker News team. He might have taken a bit too long to get most questions out, but the chief of our news partner hit his exclusive interview out of the park, a 7-hour interview with Howard Lederer, meticulously prepared for, followed by a decision to show a good chunk of it unvarnished in video form, was exactly what the poker community needed to start understanding the travesty at Full Tilt Poker. And the key there is start.
Yes.
I don't even hate mail for people. Hey, that didn't answer any questions. Well, it answered some.
Yeah, it answered
start.
A lot. There were a few that, you know, but for the most part, it was 7.5 hours of questioning. Believe me, he answered a lot of questions that we need to hear. So, but yeah, I agree. I think he did a good job, and he had a ton of pressure on him, and he came through. So, okay, as I'm wont to do, I always have a negative conky. And believe me, I worked hard to try to write 4 positive and ended up having to write 3 positive because I just couldn't let this one go. Worst case of rules that aren't really rules. World Series Poker Rule 89. It embarrassed us and our industry this past summer by accomplishing the opposite of the rule's intention to protect the game. Adding insult to injury, the rule protected one player who would have been eliminated by another player, who then, days later, turned the tables and eliminated that same player to change history, perhaps history of epic proportions. So, for those who don't remember, Gail Bauman got eliminated by that guy named Karakmi, whatever, who made the final table, and he ended up eliminating her and the other woman that would have had the potential chance of making the historic final table and perhaps even winning it all. That rule, just to me, is just, it's why have the rule if you're going to have other rules that take precedent over that rule that protect one person over a whole field of rules? And so got me so fired up that I actually wrote a publisher's column about it. So that was just a terrible, terrible rule and needs to be repealed.
Yeah, and I think I've talked to a lot of people that have said the same thing, so I'll be interested to see if the TDA takes it up next time they meet.
Yes.
And see what they can figure out there.
Hope so.
All right, well, I didn't want you to be out there alone on the negativity.
Thanks, buddy.
Actually, I did, but you couldn't pass up some negativity from other people this year. So, worst display of congressional leadership since October 2006. The U.S. Congress, 1 year after the so-called debt super committee failed to reach an agreement on anything, including tapping federal online poker revenue. Everyone knew that the sweet spot to get such a bill done was during the recently concluded congressional lame duck session, but even a power pairing of Harry Reid and John Kyle couldn't sway enough votes, and even if they had, no legislation of any kind moved through the halls of Congress to attach the bill to. But you know, they all got paid.
That's right.
You know, if we change lawmaking to a commission-based job, we get a lot more laws passed. Of course,
that's
now our libertarian, I mean, Zorag, and he's like, oh, no, we don't need any more laws. But really, it's so frustrating to watch. I mean, not just on this issue, but
the cliff, the curb.
Absolutely nothing going on other than posturing.
Yeah. Well, one state that gets it done you know, we wanted to mention this now because we talked about it. New Jersey, again, is sending the online bill to governor. So with votes of 48-25 in the Assembly and 33-3 in the Senate, New Jersey state lawmakers have again sent the bill regulating online poker in that state to Governor Chris Christie. Christie, who vetoed a similar bill 2 years ago, has 45 days from December 20th in which to act on the bill. It's unknown which way he is leaning. I think he's going to approve it.
I think so, too. But then again, you know, my glasses are rose-tinted.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm trying to weigh the other things. The Sandy thing, he's going to need some money. He's going to try to make a lot of people happy. The House, the Senate and the Assembly both sent it to him again when they changed it a little bit. It includes the brick and mortar. Plus, you know, people were saying that he didn't want to, in an election year, he didn't want to come off as supporting a, I don't know, liberal thing, I guess, whatever it was. But now that that's all over with, you know, I think that he will do what's best for his state, and that's probably one of the things that is best for his state. So I think he's going to vote. I think he's going to sign it.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, we need to get more of these state things going, since obviously nothing's going to happen in D.C.
Right. All right, best possibility that you'll never see me separated from my Blu-ray player ever again. Miramax Films. The mere fact that the owners of this film company acknowledge an intention to make a rounder sequel earns them this honorary conkey. I'm sorry, but it warms the cockles of my heart that we might actually see what Mike McDermott is doing, you know, 14, 15 years later, and just see how they're going to do this. Now, you know, they got that Runner movie coming out. You know what that is, right? Justin Timberlake and Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck, I think, is doing something with the movie. He wrote it or whatever. But it's about online gambling, and it's called Runner. And somehow Timberlake gets mixed up in something. I don't know what it is, but it's a poker movie. So it's we need to come out with a sequel just to make fun of this other movie. You know, because we need a real movie about poker to come out to make fun of Runner. But if there's no other contenders, we have to accept Runner as our only poker entry. So I'm excited that this movie's coming out. Or it may come out.
But yeah, you know, hey, just the fact that it might is exciting.
Yeah, of course. And it's going to keep me glued to IMDb for the remainder of 2013.
All right, my next one is Best Badass New Poker Tour. It was tough competition for this one. I considered a bunch of them, and at the end, very, very, by a squeaker, the Annie Up Poker Tour.
That's right.
you know, it was a long time coming for us, but when we kicked off the Annie Up Poker Tour in California with several sold-out events, including more than 300 people for the main event, in the middle of a snowstorm, and one deliciously handsome horse champion. I was one proud papa. I know you were, too. And we're definitely looking forward to growing the tour in 2013 and beyond. Got a lot of possibilities for more stops next year and some other stuff going on. And just a lot of fun. It's actually a lot of fun to hear people getting excited about these. I mean, just before the show, I was chatting with one of our ambassadors. She said that he was playing this weekend. And I heard a lot of people chatting about the World Championship event down in Punta Cana, and looking forward to going down there. So just the fact that people are talking about it is exciting.
Deliciously handsome?
Deliciously handsome.
Does that mean somebody wants to stop you up with a biscuit? I'm not sure
what
that means.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm biscuit worthy, baby.
So I got to tell you this real quick. I forgot. So, you know, and many of you may not know this, but I go see my family on the weekends. And a lot of times I go up on a Friday and I get the magazines, and I bring some magazines to my family, and they give them out at their doctor's office and stuff, you know, so that, you know, everybody reads us and just more exposure. So whenever I bring it, my parents always thumb through it, and they'll get a copy of the magazine and look at the, you know, the ads and see if we're doing okay and we're not begging for food or anything. And then my mom gets to the Annie Up Poker Tour coverage, and she's like, this is nice. And I'm like, and she went right by it. And I'm like, Ma, she's like, what? So I point to your picture, like, hey, look, Scott won one, right? She goes, oh, look, that's Scott. I said, yeah, I told you, he won the horse championship. She goes, oh, look, he won $200. I said, what? I said, what are you talking about? She goes, yeah, it says right here. It says, she said, he won $120. I said, what are you talking about? It goes, right here, $120 horse. I said, "He, Mom, that's the entry for the, look how much he won. She's like, oh, and then it was funny. I mean, I just, you know, she's like a layman, you know, she doesn't understand it. So I wonder if people read our results sometimes and think, wow, this guy only won $120 for entering the horse event? You know? It's just funny. I'm like, just look at the next line below it. But yeah, I thought it was funny. She went right over it. It's like our Angel Poker Tour, man. You're there with a two stupid nine of clubs. And, you know. But one thing she didn't say was that you were deliciously handsome when she saw your photo.
Well, she didn't want to embarrass you.
Yeah, that'll embarrass me that there are other handsome people in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll send me a Facebook message.
I'm sure it'll be private that I won't be able to see it, right?
She can just post it on Facebook.
That's true, because I'm not on Facebook. Okay, well, speaking of two of the same cards, best gag that almost no one thought was a gag. Johnny Grooms, the man who runs the Beau Rivage Poker Room, thought it would be funny to give John Dolan two nines of spades for our cover shot, and we still haven't lived it down. But, you know, the funny thing is that it got more people to contact us than anything else in our five-year history. Not Annie Up Poker Tour, not the magazine, not the show, not even mistakes in the magazine. No, you know, other mistakes, I mean. But this nine of spades gag got people calling us and talking to us. It was hilarious. It actually backfired, I think.
Yeah, it was amazing that the big thing was the people calling and just, I remember one day, guy just screaming at me when I was in Sam's Club on my phone. I was walking through like the meat aisle, and I had to take the phone away from my ear. Convinced that we were just idiots for not realizing this, and he just couldn't get past the fact. I'm like, we did realize it. It was a joke. We thought it was funny. We put it in the magazine. No, it's a mistake. Obviously, he didn't win with those cards, so I guess in some universe it's a mistake, but it's not really a mistake. No, you guys are terrible. Okay, fine. You know, cancel your free subscription, sir.
We'll refund you your money.
Yes, and let us know when you get a sense of humor later on.
What really cracks me up is that people actually believe that the two cards that they're holding up are always the winning cards.
Yeah, that's true.
You know how many? You know how many people have won with pocket aces? They like get them 220 times to one or whatever the hell the ratio is, but yet they seem to win every tournament with them. It's amazing. Good God.
Oh, man.
And what I just learned now is Scott Long buys his meat at Sam's Club.
No, actually, Laura buys it there.
Well, someone buys their meat in the Long household.
I go there once a year, but, you know. Well, no, you get the 190 steaks there for $12, so.
I know. It's a good deal. They're not a sponsor of ours. We just know a good deal when we see one.
All right, final one of the year. Best evidence that poker continues to grow. New games and tournament styles. Whether it's Wild Tallahassee Poker or Speed Poker at the Aria, or the Bicycle Casino's Quantum Reload tournaments, or Delaware Park's annual Guinness attempts with its Ironman tournament, there's plenty of enthusiasm for growing the game that we all love. Sure, some of these new ideas will be ridiculed, and for good reason, but the fact that so many people in this industry continue to innovate should be celebrated by all of us.
Yeah, like a new tour from Annie Up? That's a proof that the game's growing.
Sure.
Absolutely, and I think that, you know, it's a testament to the creative people in this industry, you know, like you said, and the fact that, you know, things need to change to keep us in interested, and they're doing it. So hats off to all those people and all those great ideas.
And we'll look forward to next year's Conkeys, only 52 short weeks away.
Send your ideas in now.
Elizabeth, and you are listening to the Antioch Poker Cast. All right, everyone, home game old school.
Boy, imagine if you wrote these things out.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It would be so not exciting.
Oh, my God.
All right, home game style this week, and it's No Limit Omaha, your favorite game.
Wow, No Limit Omaha.
Yes. We'll talk about that again. But it comes from our new friend, Paul. Let me see where he's from. He's from near Buffalo, New York. So he's probably not going to hear the show for another week or two. He's probably buried under snow. But
he won't hear it until August, then. Do you remember that? That one storm there that... They piled the snow so high in parking lots that it was still there in August. Do you remember that year?
I don't.
Oh, yeah, that was a few years ago, but Buffalo had so much snow, and they got rid of it, that when they were piling it up, that it was still there in August.
See, when I hear about snow or blizzards, I kind of run to my bed and curl up in the fetal position and shake for a while, and then I remember, hey, I'm one of the educated people that knows there's areas in this country where there's no snow.
Having flashbacks to your Ohio
I'm
childhood.
Never going to have to worry about a snowstorm in Tampa, Florida.
And then they'll come back with, yeah, but you have to worry about thunderstorms and hurricanes. And
Yeah. But that's fun stuff.
Yeah, that's fun stuff. And you don't have to shovel it either.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can't make a snowman out of a hurricane, but... All right, but anyhow, back to the hand of the week. Paul from near Buffalo, New York. Was playing in a 25-cent, 50-cent home game where the buy-in's $20 minimum, $40 max. So, you know, a little fun. In the game, no one's going to get too hurt here, right?
Yeah.
Except for the fact that they're playing No Limit Omaha.
He
says, they're playing eight-handed. The game is No Limit Hold'em / No Limit Omaha High Only Mix.
Cool.
He says, we play No Limit Omaha because there are only two of us that can quickly figure out the pot limit bets, and the game slows way down every time someone has to ask how much they can bet. Yeah. All right. I'll give you points for that.
Yeah.
Good thing that's why we invite Gambit.
That's right.
He says, most of the time the bets are close enough and stacked small enough where it's only a matter of a few big blinds where we'd be worried about calculating, so we don't. All right, that also makes sense, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I mean, we're not criticizing now.
No, I'm all for it, actually, if we want to call No Limit Omaha on a game.
So. It's bastardizing the game, though.
Yeah.
Meant to be played pot limit. Just got to learn how to do it. All right, so our hero bought in for $40. Everyone else bought in for $20, so, you know, he's rich.
Yeah, he's twice as rich as everyone else.
And there have been lots of rebuys already, so maybe somebody is going to get hurt in this game. All right, on to the hand. Under the Gun straddles for $1. Pre-flop, or wow. Before the action starts, right?
Wow.
So, Under the Gun plus one, who has $23 in front of him, calls $1. He's a loose passive player on his fourth buy-in for $90 total. Bitches and moans whenever the Omaha turn comes up. Quote, I hate this game.
Wait a minute, is this our home game?
Yeah, there's always one of these folks, right? So Under the Gun plus one, also ironically named Chris Cosenza.
That's why I was asking if it was our game or not.
All right, so he limps for the buck. And then middle position player, actually, we got a couple folds. I'm sorry. Yeah, so Under the Gun plus one calls, right?
Right.
Couple folds, and then cutoff is villain number two, who has just shy of $100. He also calls. He's described as a very loose, aggressive player. Loves Omaha, plays it well, is playing well, hitting everything in sight, still in his first buy-in. We'll call him Gambit. And our hero is on the button with $106. He says, cue Chris. Of course.
Of course you're up.
With nine of clubs, nine of spades, jack of spades, queen of clubs. This hand would be a lot better if there were two nine of spades in his hand. But only one. So nine of clubs, nine of spades, jack of spades, queen of clubs. And he says, I've been pretty tight aggressive all night, and my stack has been up and down from the initial 40 to 11, now up to 106.
Well, we know
all
that
information.
The hero in the hands of the week almost always lose, so we'll call this one Scott Long.
Very nice.
Okay, we're in position. I know we don't know what the blinds behind us are going to do, but it is PLO or NLO, so I don't mind playing this hand. There are no real nut draws here, but I don't mind playing this for a buck and seeing what happens. Since I'm up, too, I'm obviously playing well, probably better than the other guys in the game, other than maybe that cutoff guy, but I'll call and see what happens, and not going to raise with it, and I'm certainly not. I don't think I'm going to fold in position for a buck, but I might have folded that hand, but probably not.
Well, yeah, I think we have to be very clear about what we're trying to get here, you know. So if we limp here, we need to be not linger around with weak holdings on the flop,
right?
But yeah, this is definitely a playable hand, and in high low, I might actually even raise with this with a bunch of limpers. Because I'm probably sure there's not a lot of strong hands there, and you know, I'll hope for the high board since we have so many limpers.
Well, are we calling these limpers because they called a straddle, though, or are they? This actually is like a raise and calling a raise.
Yeah, I guess. But still, I mean, if you have a strong hand, you're still going to raise with the raise the straddle, aren't you?
No, yeah, I know. But when you have someone in between, I just... Yeah, I guess so. I'm just thinking of it as a raise, and somebody's calling a raise, their hand strong enough to call a raise with.
Good point. But still blind raise.
But yeah, still blind, yeah, so...
Yeah. And I guess people are kind of worried that maybe this straddle guy is going to pop him again, which generally you should do if you're going to be stupid enough to straddle anyhow.
Right.
My opinion. We're playing high only, so yeah, I'm gonna call here. I'm not too excited about raising, obviously, but I like the possibility. Two flush possibilities and two royal flush or straight flush possibilities.
Right.
And a pair and a bunch of straights. So you got a lot of stuff working here.
You got stuff working. It's got a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah, not a lot of it's nuts, but that's fine. A balls in the air, but no nuts.
No nuts. I'm gonna call with my non-nut balls.
All right, well, our hero says, I only call. Very good play.
Yeah.
You must listen to our show. He says, I'm in position, and the only real threats to me in this game are the under the gun, a player who's card dead all night, very frustrated, and already gave away that he's done with the hand, barring a huge flop, eye roll, the way he waved off his option. And villain number two, small blind folds, big blind calls to 50 cents, under the gun checks.
Well, I would have liked to have known that someone rolled their eyes. I might have made a different decision based on that information.
Mm, yeah, you were worried about the straddler raising, right?
Well, the waved off option, too. You know, if I had known that was coming.
I think that's all fake stuff, isn't it? I mean, no one really. Yeah, it's. Again, I can't believe. Can I get one good hand? And then it gets to him, raise! Oh, I hate people like that.
Acting! Brilliant!
All right, so the pot is 5 1/4, and the flop is the 5 of clubs, 8 of clubs, 9 of diamonds.
Wow.
I mean, he's not going to lie. I'm pretty damn happy with that flop, as he should be, right?
You could have asked for a better flop, but it's a pretty good one. It's not great because, again, the clubs and the straight's already there, and the clubs don't give us the nut flush, but we have top set, so we can improve.
I got some stuff working there. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a 10 in there, right?
Yeah. It'd be nice if the 8 of clubs was a 9, but other than that, yeah, I'm happy with top set and redraw to a flush.
All right, so the big blind checks, under the gun checks. Villain number one bets $3. Villain number two takes about 10 seconds to announce all in, to which our hero says WTF. So he double checks his cards, and yep, top set with queen high flush draw. And he's going to give some information here before we decide what we do.
Okay.
He says, when the cutoff bluffs, it's a very big raise pre-flop and big aggressive bets the rest of the way. This shove screams to me, I've got either two pair or the straight and no backup plan, so go away. And two, the big blind and under the gun see me get all wide-eyed and both can't wait to fold. And three, under the gun is eyeballing a stack like he wants to call.
Well, if we're convinced somebody has a straight here and all I have is a redraw to 10 outs and the flush too, I mean, the flush helps, but 10 and then the flush to, God, 90. Well, how much did this guy shove for?
95.50, it looks like.
So there's like $100 in the pot?
$103.75, exactly.
So I have to basically call off my entire stack.
He says villain number one has 19 left, so if that...
I mean, well, so even if he calls, it'd be, what, 120 in the pot. So I'd have to call off 100 to win 120. I don't think that's a good idea. If he has 6-7, we have to hit one of our outs. And after the turn, if we don't hit it, we're way a dog.
But here's the thing. Yeah, you're right. But what I'm wondering is this kind of overbet really does scream 6-7, right? So
yeah.
I'm with you. I think that we're behind right now. But unless he's got some other clubs in his hand, if he does, why would he raise so much, right? So I don't think he has any clubs in his hand. So I think we can count on both our clubs and our boat options being good. We don't know what these other people have necessarily. But I guess the fact that they say they can't wait to fold, so I'm not putting them on anything like that. So I got to think that we got some good outs. Whether it's enough or not is the question.
What always bothers me is when I play Omaha, I hate making the second or third best nuts, and the nuts is always out, it seems like. And right. If it's out, that first guy who bet $3 could have it. He could have the ace of clubs and whatever other club he needs to have it. So, yeah, I think villain two is the person that is ahead of us, but we can catch up. Villain 1 might have all of our outs, and we might have to make our boat, which then is just 10.
Oh, I forgot about Villain 1 still being.
Yeah. So, and you know how many times have you gone in with the second nuts, and then somebody shows you the nuts, and you're like, yep. And it, for me to risk my entire stack.
Yeah, but remember, he's a side potter, though.
Yeah.
So we still have $74 or so in the side.
All right, so then I'm risking 90 something to win, or 100 something to win 74.
Well, but the 74 is a fact. It's an insurance plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we don't know this other guy has those things. So I mean, we're just supposing that he probably does. But the fact that we know that our liability towards that is just the main pot helps the decision a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying. We'll still come away with like 150 if we win. So if we come away with 150, we start with 100. That means we're only getting.
Oh, yeah, geez. We still won money.
We're winning 50 to win 50. To invest 100 to win 50. if that's the way it goes.
Now, what the other thing you have to factor though is that if that guy has some of the outs, then yeah, we need to catch up to this guy who has the straight, who has this has the side pot. That's what's kind of weird here.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I just feel like if I have to hit to win, I don't like that. I don't like to have to hit to win. I like to be the one that has the hand and has to be caught rather than catching someone for my entire stack and to only win what could potentially be a $100 pot. I mean, you know, $100 more than what I have for a buy-in, because looking at 20 and 120 bucks, 100 bucks to win 120 is just not a good plan. And to think we know we have to hit, it's not a good... I'm going to fold.
You're going to fold?
I am going to fold, because I really feel like our clubs are out somewhere. Even if the guy who shoved does have the straight, the other guy could easily have at least one or two clubs, so that cuts out our outs. And if they're better clubs than ours, but he happens to have the ace, then we're drawing just to a full house. And then it's really a bad decision if you have to hit your full house to win. So I think I'm going to... If it was heads up, I would call maybe... But I got another party, and actually, two parties, really. I know we said that one of them was like they're going to fall or whatever, but...
Yeah, we don't know. You're right.
We don't know that for sure. So I think I'm going to let it go. I really do. I think I'm going to let it go.
Yeah, this is the reason that we play pot limit, folks.
Yeah.
Because it just makes it too easy to make this kind of bet and scare people off, and that's not really the object of the game. So, I mean, that's my... dad advice.
Or why we run it twice. You hear that, Gambit? This is why we run it twice.
But no, I mean, I think it's a good point here. I mean, with a pot-sized bet here, now I can put myself on the spot here, but it's certainly not going to be a raise to $95. It's going to be far more restrained.
Right. We'll see. The pot was, what, five? And then he bet three.
It was like eight. So
it would have been eight calling through, been 11, then betting the pot. So it would have been like a $14 bet.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and far more manageable.
Yeah, but definitely easily to call that 14 and
yeah,
see
what
turn.
Happens. Exactly, yeah. And, you know, probably the other guy's going to raise all in, which would be, yeah, that would reopen the betting. So then the other guy could, I mean, eventually the pot could get that big before we see it, but it would be in steps.
Yeah.
But just the fact that you're taking away this ability for someone to go crazy.
Actually, I don't even know if he could, if you only had $19 and we bet 14, I don't think he could open the betting again. Just be all in. We have to call five more, right? Because not more than half. So yeah. So I mean, yeah. It's $19. I'd rather call 19 and see the turn than 106 or whatever it is, 100 and see the turn. So I am folding. I am folding, and I'm sorry if I look weakish on that, but I just feel
I don't think you do. I don't think anybody will say you look weakish. I think this is one of those coin flip kind of things. I mean, there's probably half our listeners that would say, "Hey, you got a lot of outs. Got to get it in. There's chances to really double up and." Go home with 5x your buy-in, which is a good night with the kids.
Yeah.
And other people will say, you know what, it's not really willing to risk everything I've earned the entire day on when I'm fairly certain I'm behind right now.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, if it was hold'em, you know, I would probably have gotten it in. If it were heads up, I probably would have gotten it in. But being that it's Omaha and we have two more people behind us, that's eight more cards plus the eight, the four that the guy's holding, that he could very well have a club flush a club draw, you know, and just shoving on a club draw to get us a fold. Who knows? But if he has 6-7, we have to hit. There's so many things that's making me fold here.
Yeah, so. I mean, if we had a better, let's see, we had better straight options, it would help. But really, we're playing for a 10 right now.
Yeah.
gut shot's not good enough there, because that would kind of take away. We'd have another hand we could approve to. But yeah, you're right. When you get down to approving to a boat, that's tough.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't really say what I would do here. I think this is one of those things where you stare folks down and get a feel. I mean, these guys play together all the time. So in our game, I would know based on the action and who the people are, whether I would call or not. But absent all that, yeah, you know, I don't see a reason to go crazy here. All this guy bully us around and...
Yeah, I mean, we're up 2.5 buy-ins, and obviously we're playing well enough that we don't need to risk... That's the other thing, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? Pros will tell you all the time, they play small ball all the time because they can do it, and they don't want to play big pots with people who don't know what they're doing, and they always give that... Not that these guys don't know what they're doing, I'm just saying this as an example. When they always say, if you're outmatched by the person you're heads up with, you know, at the end of a tournament or something, you want to play big pots with them because they're going to outplay you the rest of the way. So why would I risk all of my money on one hand that I probably have to hit and coin flip for when I've been destroying this game all night? And that's the way I look at it, too. I don't just look at the hand. I look at the whole night as a whole. So.
No, I like that. Yeah. Very good. All right, well, we're both folding, so see what happens here. All right, so he says, my thoughts, pretty much the flop I played for, right? I've got top set with a decent flush redraw plus the gutter ball for a bigger straight. As I said before, I was certain I could be that villain number two wanted to shut the hand down right now, take a few minutes, and make the call.
Well, of course, it's hand of the week.
Big blind and undergun both fold when villain number one says, WTF, you called? Leans back and makes the call. Turn up the hands. Villain number one has the ace of clubs, king of clubs,
oh,
six of hearts, four of hearts. So yeah, our clubs are dead.
Yeah.
Villain number two has the six of diamonds, eight of diamonds, deuce of clubs, seven of clubs.
Oh, man.
Got the straight and a couple
and
more.
And he had clubs.
Which actually kind of helps in a way, because it takes some clubs away from the other guy, right?
Yeah.
But, again, I would rather hit my flush here, and I'd like to have the flush out, to be honest, to win the side pot.
Right.
All right, so here, a lot of my outs are out there. The turn is the seven of hearts. The river is the tray of hearts. And I'm back down under $10.
Oh, sick.
He says, the grossest part of it all is I ran out turns and rivers until the stub was gone. Just for fun, and I never improved. Damn.
What? Are you telling me that there are no more clubs in the deck? Wow. So he probably needed
more
pair.
So yeah.
Wow.
He goes, damn, the good news is I added on back up to $40 and cashed out for $128 for a $58 profit. Cue Chris, of course.
Yeah, right. That's what I have to say about that. You went home crying. So I'm going to put this on the show and try to get some free swag to make up for all this money I lost. Yeah, you know, that's tough. If you're a gambling guy and, you know, whatever, and hey, I'm going to have 300 in front of me instead of 106, and that's the way you want to play, that's cool. I just felt like there were so many things contributing to our fold that I had to let it go, even though it was top set. You know, it is Omaha. It's not Hold'em.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a huge difference. All right, Paul, well, we appreciate you sending your hand of the weekend, and we're going to send you a classic tournament dealer button from tournamentbutton.com, which offers a variety of home dealer buttons with timers built right into them. You can even customize them with your own photo or logo. Be sure to ask about the Antiup logo version and use code ANTIUP for free shipping. And remember, RBL, send your hands of the week to us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com.
And don't forget, we're going to try to do a New Year's prediction show. So anything that you think might happen in 2013, let us know. Send us an email or even call into the hotline. I'm Chris Costanza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.